go just one step to what we were discussing at the beginning of the service, as we discussed about half hour of what Lord had us do last week. And Pete is now just adding to it. There's a lot of theology out there that the church should just rest and just rest and just rest. And there's a season of rest, but there's also a season of activity. Jesus didn't just rest. He went out and he did what God told him to do. And as you can see that these things that the Lord is having us do under his anointing, which Mary was obedient to pour oil, I felt it was oil in my hands. And the Lord said, when she's done, pour it over your head, because my head's been under a lot of pressure. And a lot of wonderful opportunities for miracles. That's really what pressure is for. So, recognizing there are many, many seasons in my life where God brought me back to certain things that happened when I was a boy. Some of the rejection when I was given away, etc., etc. And even in this past week, I had a long conversation with one of my sisters. And she started to relate some of the things that happened the day I was born. And then, of course, she had to quit school to take care of me and my brother. But it was mostly to take care of my brother so that my mother would have time with me. Because, let's face it, Gaston was 18 months old. He needed full attention. But now I was the new boy on the block, if you wish. And I needed 110% of what she had to give. And she had been quite ill. She had a lot of problems with her legs. She had incredible pain from varicose veins. Everywhere in her lower area. And from what I understand, she suffered from the beginning of the pregnancy all the way through. Because I've had many of my, several actually, my sisters giving me some of these details when I was old enough to be able to handle it. What am I saying to you? Some of those things that happen to you when you're a child, some of the experiences that have become your truth are not God's truth. You got it? Your truth and God's truth can be two different things. Jesus is the Spirit of truth. And that's basically what we tried to refer to last week when we are saying we're going to stand against the lies and go after the truth. The truth is Christ. It's Him. And He's within us. He is definitely that light that is beyond anything that we've ever understood. Now, the things that happen to you that have become your truth, you live in your emotions and in your feelings with those particular truths, but are they God's truth? Okay? If you take, for instance, you can look at Moses' life. Removed from his family when he was just a little boy. His mother hired as one to give him sustenance. His sister used of God to get to find out that it's Pharaoh's daughter that picks him up. Now, you'd say, well, that wasn't a godly plan. Why should that kid be suffering just as he's a little tiny baby? But God had a plan. This morning as I was driving in, he said, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Now, if God knows the plans he has for you, do they match your plan for you? That's the trick, isn't it? His plan for you could be totally, completely different than your plan for yourself. And I've got news for you. His plan is truth. Amen. Yours could be filled with what?
Lies.
Lies and deceptions. Strong delusion. I shared a little bit of that earlier. I don't want to go back there, but I want you to be aware. The Lord says, seek ye first the kingdom. Okay? Because that's the other scripture he gave me this morning. And so we're going to go take a peek in Matthew. So let's go take a look at Matthew. And it's in Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to kind of hit 25 first. Many times when the Holy Spirit is trying to awaken us to His truth, what He's going to remind you of is you've been through a lot. And I've got news for you. 40 years Moses was looking at everything that happened to him. And he thought he was the anointed deliverer for Israel. And he even killed a man, thinking he was under the anointing of the Most High God. Was it God's plan to allow him to be a killer? Think about it. Was it God's plan for him to see himself as a killer? Yes, it was. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been removed from the country. And he wouldn't have been removed from his high prince position in the occult realm. Because that's what Egypt was. That was he was trained in. He was no dummy. He was trained in all of the attributes of a son of Pharaoh by adoption. So if you think Moses was yo-yo, he wasn't yo-yo. He was a very, very talented, smart man who could read and write. That times and of that day. Like St. Paul, he knew a lot. He was trained by the best of that day. Was it God that planned it for him? Aha. See? Now, you'd say, well, wait a minute. 40 years in the best? Spoiled brat with every luxury that Egypt could give. Every lust taken care of. The next 40 years he lives in the middle of the desert with his father-in-law being trained about God. With a wife that loves him and having a family. So after all these 80 years, God says, now you're ready. And he don't want to go. Right? Okay. Are you ready? Have you been into those hard places? Have you been in a desert for a season? Could it be a lousy season that you're walking in right now? And is it perfect for God to use to build you into what He needs down the road? Verse 25, Matthew 6. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. Do you think Moses was worried about his life? I believe he was. I believe he was very concerned about his brothers and sisters and about his mother and all those that suffered under the mighty hand of Pharaoh. And when he realized it, he ended up in anger. Now, none of you have ever gotten angry, so I'm all set. None of you have ever tried to repair the damage that was done to you and your family. Because you had a great bright idea. That's what happened to Moses. He had a great bright idea. You gotta fix it. He had heard from God because he knew he was to be a what? A deliverer. But in reality, was it his time to deliver them? Was he anointed of the Most High or was he anointed with a great idea? If you think you've been anointed with a great idea, you better check with the guy who is the Spirit of Truth. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. I don't want to go any further than that. You know, all the other stuff, is, you know, we get caught in this crazy world that we live in where everybody says, you got to do it. And sometimes we don't want to wait for the one who says, I am the truth. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food? And the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air, and they do not sow or reap or store away in barns. And yet, your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more vulnerable than they? Valuable. Well, we're vulnerable too. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the fields grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the fields, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Verse 33 is very important. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, or tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own. You can read this over every single day for about a month, and I've got news for you. You're going to see different corners of yourself. You're going to see different anxieties that you have about what your future is. And hopefully, the kingdom will become more important to you. I've got a cousin right now who's 56 years old. And my wife and I spent some time with her yesterday, and it was very sad for both of us because we could not make out one intelligible word. Not one. I think I caught maybe a half of a word, and I had to guess the balance. She is struggling to stay alive. And I don't know how many more days that God will give her. But I do know this. Irene was sitting in the chair on Ann's left hand, and I was sitting on the right. We stayed in her room, and we shut the TV off, and we anointed her with oil. We blessed her. And all three of us wept. And as I was weeping, I saw the vision of the dream from back in last February, where she was laying down between us in our bed. We weren't in bed, but we were definitely, the only thing they can put her in is like a recliner, and they kind of have her tied in so she doesn't fall out, because she constantly tries to, you know, act out into whatever thought pattern hits her mind. And because of the brain tumor, it's extremely difficult. And we gave her a kiss goodbye when we were leaving, and we waved to her because we put her in the hallway so that they can keep an eye on her. And got in the car, and my wife says, you know, I'm going to be happy when she's with Jesus, because right now it's so hard. It's hard to watch. It's hard and it's painful. And we'd like to take the pain away, but we can't. And as we were driving home, I wanted to tell Irene about the dream again, and the Lord said, don't, just hold it. Because our emotions were in the way. One of the workers in the building where she is, at the Renaissance, born again nursing home. Can you figure that out? Those of you who know French, that's what Renaissance means. Said to me, you have no idea when this girl goes home what's going to happen in this place. She has touched every worker in this place. Talking to them about Jesus. Talking to them about changing their hearts. And this particular lady said to me, she has been such a gift since she's been here in March. And she brings us out of depression. You know how she does it? By rejoicing in the space she's in. And they are, you know, complaining about this little ache or that little pain or that little thing or that little worry or doubt or family problem. And she said, Anne will tell us, well, God's on the job. He's got angels taking care of that. So stop worrying. And she says, then we feel so humbled because we should be helping her and she is pulling us out of a heart space. Do not worry. You see, when I had the dream, she had a dream. And her father came to her in that dream, telling her, everything is going to be fine. And she says, Kim, am I about to die? And I said, if I lied to you, I would be accountable before God. I also had a dream, man, and I saw you in between Irene and I. And so we will be with you. And we'll be praying for you every step of the way. I don't know how many days. Don't know how many months. The doctor said 3 months. Maybe 6, max. Now we're up to 9. God had a plan. His plan isn't completed yet. Verse 19, Matthew 6:19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroys, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You say, well, what does that have to do? Well, last week, somebody said they made a decision to put God first. Okay? What you don't know, young lady, is that I had a word of knowledge for somebody that same day. And that word of knowledge was this. You're very concerned about finances. And the Lord says you haven't planted any seeds, so there you're eating your seeds. And when you're eating your seeds, you will not get a harvest. I should have heard an amen. Amen. If you eat your seeds, that's taking yourself and you are lifting yourself above God. But when you take and you put Him first, what happens? He says, I will provide seed to the sower. Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
Okay. And I'm not saying you got to do legally. I'm just saying wisdom says if you invest and you plant, God will give you a harvest.
He does. You know the book you gave me?
Yeah.
That I was reading that about in Joseph Prince.
Yeah.
I read the whole chapter. I was like, oh my goodness. This past week, I'm like,
yeah. Exactly what you needed to do. And that's a blessing. And you know, a few months ago, there was an individual that was on the phone with me. And as we were praying, because there was a major need, physical, and we prayed for that, and all of a sudden this person inserts, oh, and don't forget to pray about my finances. And this is no lie. Out of my mouth came, you cannot get a harvest when you put your seeds in the mud. And the next word was, you're putting your money in a swamp. And I almost flipped over. Literally, because now it's like I'm accusing this person of putting their money where it's going to rot in the ground. And I says, you've got no harvest because you're putting your money in a place where it is a swamp. And I mean, I said, oh my God, you know, I wanted to apologize because it sounded condemnatory. And the Lord said, be quiet. Let me deal with this. It wasn't your word, it was my word. Let me deal with it. It's been several months. I had a praise report this past week from the same individual that God was providing. It hasn't arrived yet, but it's been provided. So I don't know what adjustments they made. That's none of my business. That's between them and the Lord. But what it was that, you know, God was saying, be obedient. The rest will fall into place.
Amen.
And we will not fall short. And you, if you eat in your seed, make an adjustment. Whatever adjustment He tells you to do. And you know what? It may not be 10%. It may be only 2% that you can start with. It may be 5. It may be 7. I don't care what the numbers are. Obey the Lord. That's the bottom line. Obey the Lord. And some may say, well, wait a minute, 10% is not enough. Obey the Lord. That's the bottom line. Would you close your eyes, please? Father, I ask that you would just confirm this word to their hearts as they continue to stand against the darkness and the things of the lying spirits that have had their way with us for a long time and may still have their way. Give us grace, Lord Jesus, to obey. Give us grace to give out seeds when it's time to plant it where you tell us to plant it, so that the Holy Spirit will be able to prove the word of the Lord to us as He supplies our needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And all of God's people said,
amen.
And amen. Woo.